So welcome officially to this extra session of Unlocking Ascension Q&A. As I mentioned, this is primarily for the January Ascenders, and they've let us know who they are. Their questions will be covered first, and then, because I had this nudge from Spirit to expand the circle, quite a number of other Ascenders, veteran Ascenders, or seasoned Ascenders, as I would call you, have joined in, and I'm so grateful to have you here to relate to your questions and download from Spirit some fresh answers, some new takes, some additional wisdom for your own ascension process. So remember, our basic topics are about soul prints, yours or someone else's. As in private sessions, we've learned that many people are more complex or not really well-known soul types. And so if you need some clarity on your soul print, because really nothing quite gelled it for you yet, we can address that here. Second, clearing. So clearing energy from yourself, from others, from your space, from things like your business. We can address those questions. Third, grounding and cosmic flow, and this way of reconnecting yourself to your intuition and to both the earth and the greater cosmic forces. Any questions about that? What you can do with grounding for other people? Anything like that is fair game here. And finally, boundaries, energetic boundaries. I know we present them in the recorded session and we do this immediate and instant repair, but what you find so often is maintaining that or even letting it develop along with you can bring up new questions, new concerns, new places that you haven't explored yet. So that's fair game too for your questions about your own energetic boundaries or energetic boundaries in general. Please know that if your question is quite personal, I'm going to reserve the right to reframe it so it's of more general interest and benefit to the group. Since this is a group session, we're here to enrich one another. If it's extremely personal, and this doesn't feel like the right place for that, please email me privately. And Larika, if you can type my email address into the chat if you'd like to remind people what it is. And so if it's really personal and you just suddenly have the sense this isn't quite the place, but this is an important question, you can email me. I respond to emails like once or twice a week with my current schedule. So please know that if it's not an immediate answer, it's percolating. Spirit's fermenting the wisdom, and I will share it with you in the fullness of time. This is one of my repeated phrases, and especially in times like this where we have been like required globally and collectively to slow down when we really would like more immediate answers, but we just don't get them, or we just have to go slower. There's power in that. I sent an email out to remind us of that, the power, the vast and hidden power of going slower, and we're being required to embrace that. So my personal application is, it may seem like I'm slow to respond to emails. I'm really not. I'm letting Spirit give me the answer in the fullness of time, and I'm letting my schedule guide when I have the fullness of time to give you the answer that's all that you need. For that. So with those parameters for our container, we stay on topic, we make it of general interest as much as possible, and we address our January Ascender questions first and then open it up to everyone. I think we're ready to go. So let's relax into our group connection meditation to set the energy and the space and our own wholeness and oneness together. As you relax into your seat, you can find that your gaze goes a little soft. Maybe you're looking across the room or just kind of going soft focus. And then with a couple of easy breaths, just breathe your eyes closed. And let yourself feel your grounded energy and presence in your space. Let yourself be in your body in this moment. Very nice. I can feel things settling. And now let your awareness expand comfortably to notice and feel the energy of everyone else in this session. Energetically, make contact, touch them, say hello. We are intrepid metahumans in this together, and we're better together. Let yourself really absorb the truth of that in this experience now. And feel yourself reaching out and saying hello back, as well as to everyone who may be joining a little later, everyone who will be tuning in to this replay. Let's bring all of their energies, all of their presence, all of their spirits into the group with us right now. Feel yourself receiving all these energetic greetings and loving touches and togetherness from all of these others present, whether in this moment in linear time or later in linear time, and yet somehow in the timeless now, present with us. Know that you are an important part of this group energy. And relax into knowing that you have this unique contribution and it is welcomed here. Ground yourself in the room you're in afresh. And put everything that you've learned so far in your ascension journey about the topics we're going to be covering, just lay it out for the group. Put it into the energy space that we're sharing right now. And as it goes into the group energy, feel yourself starting to absorb all of that learning from everyone else, as well as contributing your own. Give and take. A beautiful reciprocal exchange that benefits us all and benefits you personally. Very nice. So however you're perceiving that learning, that energy, that awareness, just recognize it's subtle energy. It's beyond your conscious mind, but you are absorbing and receiving it, and it will manifest either now or later in the fullness of time. And in this moment, just release any lingering stress, any concern about questions, anything that might be just floating around in the back of your mind. Just release it down our group grounding cord and or your own individual one. Whew. Ah, feel that clearer space within you and the quiet within you. And now we're going to call in the presence of our own higher selves, consciously evoking those greater spirit selves. And let everyone's higher self greet everyone else's. There's another layer of enrichment there. And we call in our helper spirits, your guides, angels, and other divine beings who are here to assist you in this part of unlocking your ascension. And finally, we call in divine presence, the fullness of source consciousness that is intended to be here, in, as, among, around, and moving through us all. Notice how it shifts when divine consciousness enters. What shifts in you? What shifts in our space? Lovely. And finally, set your intention for this particular time together. Mine, as always, is to be a clear, broadband, secured channel of all energy and information that's in alignment with the highest good of all who are here to receive. And along with that intention that you're aware of for yourself, please feel free to put in an intention to have some fun too, to feel really good, to grow and to enjoy yourself in this moment of energy exchange. Whatever your intention, drop it in, and say hello one more time energetically with a big smile to everyone in the group, and know that you are in the right place. So as you return to that awareness of yourself in your space, in your body, feel free to open your eyes, wiggle a little if you need to, welcome yourself back. And I'll just note whatever changes I'm sensing in the group energy so we can all just tune in and realize we've harmonized. So much of the time for me, it's not about unity. Unison and unity are powerful pops of energy. And when we can experience those moments of unison, there's tremendous power in it. But we did not choose sustained unison because we are each one unique vibrational beings. And we came not to create unison, but to create harmony. And the occasional pop of dissonance, that the divine disruption that changes things for the better. So if you're a divine disruptor and you often bring a little needed dissonance to group energy, just pat yourself on the back and say, go you, go me. That's a very divine role to play, especially in times like these. But generally speaking, I'm about harmony. And that means we're singing different notes, but they all go together surprisingly well. So now we're getting ready to sing the songs of our questions to receive the spirited downloaded answers. And this is where, if you haven't typed your question into the chat yet, please feel free to put it in. And Larika, do you have any questions been presented at this time?
Yes, we have four questions. And the first one is from a new person. So on there, yeah, from Robert. It's a very general question. He asks, how do you access your Akashic records? I don't know if that's a bit.
Oh, thank you. And Robert, that's a fabulous question. And for everyone, that is an essential question, actually, in times like these. So just a bit of downloaded history. These records have seemed sacred, mysterious, forbidden for quite some time. And my heart was touched in a presentation I made about the Akashic records when two wonderful women approached me afterwards, and they were just kind of thunderstruck as they said, I never felt we were worthy to access our own records if they're so sacred. And my heart kind of broke a little, because your own story is too sacred for you to be aware of. Wow. Talk about some really limiting religious conditioning that's been influencing us unfavorably. So if you've had any lingering sense of these records are so sacred that you might not be worthy of accessing your records, please let that go. It's your story. Of course, you're meant to access it. And the more awareness you have, especially now, the more you can change what needs changing. Many of us entered with some older contracts in place that perhaps when we came in, it wasn't yet time to change that part of your story or to change those agreements that you were holding. And sometimes you didn't even know that you could change that. And sometimes they don't tell us. I'm not sure why. That remains under investigation, shall we say. But what many people have come in is veiled from the awareness of their story, from the contracts they're holding that need to change, and from the parts of their story that they have editorial privilege to change. And that's part of my work, is to remind all of you, if you are seeking, if you've got the nudge or the interest in accessing the Akashic records, that's for you. You have the privilege and the authority to always access your own records. So let me just remind us all that in the original interview and as part of your download page, I walked everyone through a process to enter your own records. It's a safe, recognized process that runs through your own energy system. So I'm just going to refresh us for a moment in that process. It'll be brief. And if you want a fuller meditative walkthrough, please check your download page. It was part of the original interview and also offered as a separate MP3. So accessing your own Akashic records. Let's just do it briefly, and so that you can have a taste of it or a refresher of it. And then if there's this may lead to some related questions about that, if that didn't quite work for me. Okay, then we'll explore some other options for you to try on your own. But this is the one that I've been guided to present as being generally safe for metahumans, because most of us have very active eighth chakras. That little chakra, it looks little. It's like Hogwarts, right? Bigger on the inside. This little chakra that's suspended in your out-of-body field, your out-of-body chakra system, just above the back of your head. Some people call it the shaman chakra, because this is your gateway to every place that's not physical 3D earth. So think about it. This is your personal gateway. It's part of your own chakra system. There's no safer way to enter the Akashic space than through your own energy system. So just become aware. And if you want to, you can close your eyes again, drift inward, and just become aware. I'm amping up your personal awareness of that chakra, sitting, being just present above the back of your head. And from your inner landscape, this inner space where you go, whether it's head or heart or any other place you naturally go when you're going quiet and you're shifting consciousness to a different meditative state, just be aware you have a pathway up to and into that chakra. So I'm going to invite you to become aware of how you go in your awareness, the part of your soul that travels. How does that part enter your eighth chakra? Find the pathway now. Just know that it's open, it's available, and you're standing, what appears to be standing just outside the entryway to your eighth chakra. Open it and go in. Close the doorway or whatever that entrance was. Secure it behind you. This is your own energy system. And if you're prone to energetic intrusions or attachments, you really want to secure that entrance. That's just for you. You often find that you're in a corridor. So let's just imagine or know you're in a corridor. There may be doorways off to the side that you notice. These are other dimensions and realms that you have access to or will have access to. We're going to close all those doors for now. This is not relevant today. Turn your attention to another doorway or entryway that is somehow more apparent. It might be brighter. It might be bigger. It might have a pull to it. This is the entrance to your records. Just let yourself go there. You might drift, walk, slide, glide, just find yourself now at the doorway, the entrance. Like the eighth chakra, this doorway opens to your energy signature only. So apply your energy signature, a touch, a look, a turning of a knob, whatever you witness, this is your way in. And let yourself in. I am somehow monitoring this from a more detached and neutral space in the record. So I am not entering with you. This is just you. Go in and close that entry behind you securely. And I'm noticing with some of you, if you have persistent energetic attachments or you've still got some vulnerable places in your boundaries, there's some stuff that thumps at the doorway to the records, because now you're on the cosmic level, 5D and above. And there are things that are not admissible into the records, but that may be tethered to you somehow. So with your permission, just give inner consent if you would like me to go and clear that out for you. I'll just undertake that as a service in this moment. So if there was the thump to something tethered to you, I'm now releasing the tethers and re-smoothing, re-harmonizing your energy system, recalibrating those spaces and places so they no longer allow the attachment. The tether can no longer find that space in your energy. And I'm taking all the tethers, I'm going back outside, and with the clearing collective, we just deal. As fast as that, whatever was on the other side of those tethers is dealt with permanently in the way that's for the highest good of all, including whatever was on the other end of the tethers. So just relax, notice if there's any shifts in your body or your sensations or your energy as whatever might have been tethered to you is cleared permanently. And let your energy system recalibrate in whatever ways it needs to assure that this is permanent on your end as well. And now just be, take a couple of breaths. We're just going to be here for a brief moment to give you a sense of orienting yourself in your unique Akashic Record space. It will show up differently to every individual. It, because it's 5D and above, it is extremely malleable, subtle energy. It adapts to your state of consciousness. You will see or perceive in whatever way you do. It might not be seeing, it might be feeling, hearing, even tasting or smelling what's meant for you, to just know you are in this sacred personal space. And from here, you can, as you return, receive higher guidance, higher wisdom, and the editorial privileges to change what you are authorized to change for yourself in your soul story. If you see or perceive in some way that your story is being opened for you to edit, let that be bookmarked somehow. You'll return and you will take your next steps. But for now, it's time to leave. So turn around, know that you are turning around and facing that entrance again, and simply go back out. Know that you're getting some Akashic downloads from this that will persist. You know, the pipeline will stay open for the next 60 to 90 minutes and then quietly, gently close off. So you'll be getting some energy shifts that you're ready for from this time in the records. That is the beauty of this space, as you receive healing, restructuring, guidance, and wisdom at the non-conscious levels, as well as the conscious ones, every time you let yourself be present here. And it will change your thoughts, your beliefs, your perceptions, and finally your choices and actions. And that's where your story changes on earth, choices and actions. So we're letting new information, new awareness, new energy begin to inform your thoughts so you can make new choices and actions from here. And with that mandate and that decree, you are now ready to leave. Acknowledge with gratitude these beings and forces who are here for you. Send them a big smile. Send them some energy hugs. Send them whatever you'd like to give them, because that nourishes them. And then simply depart. Open the doorway. Move through the doorway, close it behind you again securely. Move down the corridor, and you might go faster this time because now you know the way. And when you reach the entrance or exit point from the eighth chakra, just let that come open naturally for you, close behind you, and follow your pathway back into that space in your being where you were before. Let this traveling part of you rejoin the rest of you, sacred, embodied, present, here and now. Reground, re-enter your body, let the pipeline stay open. Just notice what that might feel like or be like for you. And when you're ready to re-engage, just open your eyes. And this is where you can report a little bit. What was it like to go there today? And of course, Robert, especially, I love whatever impressions you got. And please notice if the experience needs some refinement because there's some resistant places or some energy interference, it's okay. You just notice what's there now. In the records, there's these three mandates. Judge not, fear not, resist not. So remember those and refrain from judging your experience in the records and simply allow it to be what it was and know that it will only become more from here. So long answer to a brief question, isn't that often the way it goes? And thank you for joining us and enriching the experience for us all. Great question. So next.
Okay, the next question is from Manon. I hope I pronounce your name correctly, Manon. She's asking, and Robert said, thank you, Susan.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
So she's asking, could you discuss a process of helping two persons to resolve a conflict between them, how to set up a space, clear energy for both of them, for example, permission, rose and grace dome, grounding. Do you have to inform them or ask permission to do energy work, even if they requested your help? The expectations being that you help them through talking. So the question is how to work with two or more persons at the same time, helping them to interact better between the two of them.
Okay, and that is of general enough interest because all of us as sensitives and empaths and compassionate people, we witness the shenanigans of the wounded egos and souls relating to each other in these crazy making ways. And we're just like, how do we help? This is a mess. And it might be your family. It might be your friends. It might be you and another person, or it might be colleagues at work or other people. They've entered your awareness, right? You're aware of these people. You're aware of the conflict. Sometimes it, as in this situation, they've actually requested some help and they're expecting because they don't know how energy works most of the time. They don't know that you're going to be doing a great deal when you set the energy. You change the physical level outcomes and you're setting the stage for the best possible outcome to begin to be manifested. So like the tip of the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg is where you're like talking consciously to each other. The rest of the iceberg is all of the unseen energy work that you may sense you're being called to do to prepare the way and to bring about the greatest good outcome possible while letting go of any bias or attachment to how they're going to handle this. This is one of the great messages for those of us who are empaths, is we can see sometimes, we can envision, we can understand, it could be so much better. They could do so much better. There doesn't have to even be a conflict here. You can see what they cannot because you are detached. You're bringing an outsider's awareness. They're enmeshed in their own point of view, in their own wounding, in their own history. And they're bringing all of that baggage to the conversation, usually not consciously. We may sense the hidden energies that are influencing them. And that's where we can make a difference that can bring surprisingly useful changes. So the first thing I'd like to say is you operate where consent is not required first and foremost. If they've asked for your help, they have tacitly given you permission to do the energy work that brings about the results they're asking for. So please understand, they already gave consent. If they want your conscious help, they get the whole nine yards of it, okay? They've already said yes non-consciously to any other help you're choosing to bring. So just be assured, you got this. You're invited in. If there is no awareness and no request for help, you want to start a little bit differently. But the common ground where we can all start from, whether there's been a request for help or not, is we're going to use these processes, some of which Manon mentioned. We start with putting everyone in a grace dome. Remembering that grace is the antidote energy to all of the wounding, all of the ego struggles, all of the all of the conflicts, the answer is grace, and you're just applying it where their energy is ready for it. So when you put people in a grace dome, you do not need their conscious consent. This is a higher order of divine intervention that is authorized for those of us who are aware to do for anyone, anywhere, anytime. You can do this for the leaders of your country. You can do this for celebrities. You can do this for anyone. Put them in a grace dome. We have a big cosmic yes on that globally and beyond. So set them in their grace domes first. Ideally, you have some quiet space where you can set this energetic stage. You just envision them, imagine them, each in their own individual grace dome. And then set the permission rows between them and between yourself and them. This allows the energy exchanges to be the most beneficial possible. And the permission rows, just a reminder, energetic structure that all of us have. And when we consciously activate it, it serves as a moderator, an energetic moderator of what passes between people. So you set the stage by placing the rows and placing them in the grace dome. Finally, I would invoke this process that I know of as spirit to spirit, taught by Cindy Dale. And I moderated that to call it the four breaths, because you can activate it with four different breaths. It takes longer, it takes more breaths than that when I explain it, okay? So just remember, you might need to breathe more. Don't limit yourself to four breaths. But when you practice it and when it becomes, you know, what would we say? Innate, when you are skilled, when you have mastery of this, four breaths is all you need and maybe less, because you invoke these energies. The first thing you do is invoke the presence of each party's higher self, plus your own, as witness. As if you're engaged, if you're going to be talking consciously, you're witness and participant. So your higher self is present as well. And even if it's not in this space, your higher self must be invited in. So the higher selves for all concerned. And then let the higher selves of these two parties begin to dialogue with each other. Here and now, before they ever enter into the conscious conversation, the higher selves are very busy rising above the wounded ego and the soul history and the energetic baggage and dealing directly. And that's where changes can begin, higher self to higher self. And then second breath, you invoke everyone's helper spirits, including your own. These helping spirits want to teach, want to bring about the greatest good. They are here to help. I often include, if you can tell, these people have attachments or energetic interference of some kind. I now authorize and empower you to add what I add. Anyone not here to help gets sequestered and, where appropriate, cleared. So that if they have attached spirits, if they have unfriendly or unhelpful influences, whether it's forces or beings, invoking and decreeing that if you're not here to help, sequester and clear. This invokes some clearing beings who are present and ready to help you. You may not, I have a whole collective for that because this is my work here. You will all, they will show up for you as needed, okay? Invite them in, honor them, let them do their thing. That's where you say, where appropriate, clear. Where it's not appropriate, that won't happen, but you can sequester them. And really minimize or dull, you know, it's like you turn down the volume on their influence in the situation, which is especially helpful. So just notice, you may not be able to eliminate these interferers, but you can turn down the volume a lot. And when these people experience what it's like to not have that pushing at them, clouding their judgment, cluttering their energy, they may be ready to let go. And you can help with that if you're called to do so. So that's part two. You invoke everyone's higher self. You invoke the helper spirits. And finally, you invoke divine presence, just as I did. However you would name it or know it. But this presence, this vast source consciousness, it changes everything. You'll feel the difference when you invoke and invite in divine spirit, however you would name that. It settles over everyone. It encompasses the situation that they're going to encounter in the physical. It's like Reiki, only 10x is what I'm hearing to say. That you're sending that level of divine energy into the situation ahead of the linear time. And then you have done everything you're energetically meant to do to create the most favorable conditions for the most benevolent outcome, if that makes sense. And then, just with a little sense of amusement, you'll want to go into your neutral inner space. And you'll want to note with any amusement possible that you might have a bias here about how you want this to turn out, that you might have very strong feelings of what would be best for these people, that you think you know exactly how this is supposed to play out, and mostly what you're doing is making it happen. Just be amused at that. Just be amused and let go, put that off the side and say, you know, I am now releasing my expectations and my sovereign will. I release to the greater will of the divine. Let the fullness of divine intention be accomplished in this encounter, whatever it is. And that allows for human messiness, because this might not create this miraculous change where everyone suddenly loves on each other and they don't even know why they were fighting and it all works out beautifully with this one conversation. No, people are messy and people have resistance and there's a lot of other factors at play. And you have a limitation in your perception. Just recognize my perception is limited. And divine has this vast cosmic perception that is benevolently neutral and will allow for the messiness, for the apparent setbacks, for people to get loud and stupid with each other. I'm just going to call a spade. Sometimes they're just stupid with each other. And that's because they got stuff in the way that may not be ready to go yet. And grace won't remove what the people are still clinging to. Okay, please understand, grace doesn't force people to let go, even if it would be for their greatest good. What grace does is quietly undermine the connections, just quietly, but relentlessly bring into question, why is that? Why do you feel that? What's up with that? And then when letting go, you can both envision the greatest good possible that your limited perspective can conceive of. Acknowledge your limits with compassionate amusement and then release like a great bubble that you're floating up to divine consciousness to say this or something better for the greatest good of all. So be it and so it is. And then you're done. And then if you're meant to be physically present in the conversation, you can just refresh your awareness that you already did this. And you're just reminding yourself, we did this. It's a done deal. I'm just going to witness, observe, and facilitate as appropriate, which means sometimes you have to just fold your hands in your lap and not say anything and let it work itself out. Just remember, you are primarily a witness and a space holder. If it's two people who need to engage with each other, you are holding the space and holding the intention for the greatest good possible, however that shows up. And then you can let yourself be surprised by grace, by unexpected plot twists and things that would come up that you would never foresee or imagine, but that turn out surprise that this is the grace. It turns out surprisingly well anyway, considering. And that is sometimes the most useful expression to hold when we regard human interactions, is to just hold, that's going to turn out surprisingly well anyway. And then that loving amusement that you can bring in, it lightens everything up. You know what I'm saying? It takes away some of this intensity and the baggage and the fear that you might be messing up and ruining it for everyone. It's like, nope, you're not. They're all in the grace domes. It's in the hands of divinity. What better hands could there be? So what I hope is that brings a sense of some relaxation and this willingness to both to play with the energies and to follow the flow and sometimes direct the flow with your intention, the unwavering intention that this comes out through grace, that grace prevails and the greatest good is what manifests ultimately. And you just want to be part of it. Okay, again, long answer, but what I hope and intend is for you to use these tools for people who are in chronic conflict in your life. It allows you to step back and stop taking on their energies and stop fixing them and stop doing more than you're responsible for. But change the energy and you change the outcome without even needing to say a word or do anything but be present and let source consciousness do the work. Okay, thank you. Resolving human conflicts is one of the greatest challenges for metahuman souls and the way we contribute to healing the planet, one ego-based conflict at a time. So thank you, Lorica. What's next?
I have two more questions, but I just quickly want to say that Manon, is that how you pronounce your name? I'm sorry if I don't get it right. She says, awesome. Thank you so much. So super helpful and powerful.
Wonderful. I'm so glad. Let us, you know, keep me posted what happens because it's going to be fun.
Okay. Just a note that there's still two more questions. So if anybody else has any more questions, please type them out. You can also raise your hand if you want to ask a question and we can unmute you. But the next question is from Catherine, and it's a question about finances. Money help, please. Why do so many empaths lose all their money or have it taken from them? After repeatedly losing my job and finances throughout my life, I am now so stressed out and tired trying to figure out how to survive at 72 years of age.
So first and foremost, thank you for opening up and this vulnerable place in your life. And please know that every single one of us is sending you compassion and care, Catherine. Money is one of the greatest and most misunderstood energies on the planet. And one reason why empaths and sensitives tend to lose money is because they're literally leaking their power and their energy. Where you have porous boundaries, money will reflect where you are vulnerable, where other people can take advantage of you because you're not sovereign yet. This is not judgment, this is loving assessment. And most empaths have one of their great life challenges is reclaiming their sovereignty, setting their boundaries, knowing what belongs to them rightfully, and refusing to allow anyone to take what doesn't belong to these others. So there's some, it's almost like a shoring up of one's own sovereignty, a shoring up of the belief that you are worth and worthy of having money flow easily into your life and of having a right relationship with money as an expression of source consciousness, as a medium of exchange, as a way that people's energies support each other. The exchange of money is one aspect of how people support each other energetically. It's a biggie. We've made it vital. You know, in earlier civilizations, it wasn't vital, but the way things have gone, it's become vital. And therefore, mastering money is one of our core places of healing in a lifetime. I have spent decades recovering from money pain, money wounds, limiting beliefs, not being wise as a steward of money. I've made stupid money mistakes, and I'll admit it. And I have been through bankruptcy, and it was terrible, and yet it was liberating. And I learned. The question always is not, the non-useful question is, why does this keep happening to me? The only usefulness that you might get there is that you'll get an answer why it keeps happening. And then you're being required to do something different. If you want a different outcome, especially as an older adult where you know you want to end things well, and you know you want to end with a sense of safety and provision, even if it's simple, you're safe and provided for. That is a basic human need, and you are worthy of having that need met. And for all of us, yeah, we're worthy of having that need met. What we wonder, how? And how is one of the questions that's really tricky, because we get hung up on the how, and because we have limited perceptions and we don't let the universe support us in surprising ways. So what I'd first want to open your awareness of, Catherine, and to all of us, is where am I closing my perception and limiting the ways money can come to me? You will get answers to that question. If you've decided that the only way I can get money is earning a living, then the universe has no other options for you. But when you begin to open up and say, how could the universe surprise me with new ways of bringing money into my fields? You might get some really interesting answers, surprising ones, and yet you'll sense a rightness to them. So acknowledging what has been and leaving that, one of the reasons we get stuck in our stories about money, we get stuck in the suffering, because yeah, it happened again and again and again. And you know what? It can stop happening right now. All it takes is you saying, the buck stops here. Sometimes literally, the buck stops right here in my lap, and I get to hold this money. I get to have this money. I get to choose what I do with my money. From now on, I choose. And I choose to love money, receive it, and let it move wisely and well. That's been my pledge to myself. I am going to learn to love money wisely and well, and let money bless me immensely. And that means I've opened up to some surprising processes and methods. I would like to recommend a book that's changed my approach. It's so gentle and so loving and so beautiful. It's just called Happy Money by one of the most wealthy men in Japan, who's interviewed hundreds of millionaires. Japan has the highest proportion of millionaires per capita of any country on the planet. How did they do it? Well, Ken Honda found out. He's healed his own money wounds, and he so gently and lovingly guides us to explore and heal our own. And as the money wounds heal, it's almost like you seal up the ruptured places in your container so the money can stay with you until you decide what to do with it. Money issues are often energetic boundary issues. And if you go through the energetic boundary repair process and repeat it weekly, at least, because as you change your consciousness, your boundaries need to upgrade to welcome in money and let it move. Welcome it in and let it move. Welcome it in and let it move with gratitude. So that changing your consciousness around money and around the role that you've played with money. Okay, so you've been a victim. You've been someone who let those things happen. One of the hardest things for us all to acknowledge, because it takes a ruthless willingness to be self-aware, is I let this happen. I allowed it. And that can be really painful. And allow yourself to feel the pain and to recognize that from now on, you're choosing correction without punishment. You do not need to punish yourself for having allowed it, for having been in a victim consciousness, for having allowed yourself to be overpowered by other beings and other forces and other events. It's meant to teach you, what do you need to do to be bully-proof and bulletproof about money? If this is the big weak spot in your life, your fields, your state of being, it's come to a point where you cannot not notice it anymore. And the weariness is because you've had to go through this lesson a few more times than was optimum for your soul's progression. Doesn't mean you won't get help doesn't mean you can't turn this around and be in a state of feeling secure and safe with money, with whatever amount of money you have. That's what Ken Honda noticed too, is it didn't matter about the amount of money. Millionaires would still say, I don't feel wealthy. I still need this. I still need that to feel wealthy. So the money itself is not the issue. It's your state with regard to the money. There are beggars on the streets who are happy with the state they are in. They feel somehow more safe and more secure than the jet-owning millionaire in Japan. Why? How? It's their own energy fields. And sometimes it's their dharma, quite literally their dharma, to experience feeling safe without money. So there's not really a simple answer to that question, because again, we are all unique vibrational beings. Our history is our own. Our issues reflect our vibration, but there's more help than ever. Free help, because Happy Money, you can get that book sometimes free, directly from Ken Honda. You can get it from the library. You can look him up, and he has free resources to begin to change your relationship with money. There's a lot of help out there to shift your vibrational state around money so that it comes and it stays. And then it moves on when you're ready, how you're ready. And you can, as Ken Honda says, arigato, your money. In Japanese, that's thanking. And I use the Japanese word because it puts a new flavor on it, right? Gratitude. Sometimes I just get tired of having to feel grateful. It's like, oh, stop it. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. Please allow me to get snarky for a moment about gratitude. But when I use a new word, it brings in a new energy. And I actually spontaneously created a song around that word, arigato, arigato your money. And it was a child in me singing about money. And I thought, gosh, that's new. That is new. Ken Honda healed my inner child about money just by being present with me. And I've saved that song, and I'm going to sing it someday, and people will sing it with me. But for now, it's just my simple childlike melody that I sing when I pay bills, that I sing. I'm going to practice singing it when I pay my taxes, because that's the part where it's like, okay, all right. Because Ken says, you might not be happy where your tax money gets spent. Thank your money anyway. So even if you're not happy about every nuance of where it goes, thank it for coming. Thank it as it goes. Arigato in, arigato out. And things will start changing. So Catherine, you're on the threshold of changing your state. And anyone else who's hearing this and recognizing, you're on the threshold of changing your state. I am now invoking the energies of grace to lead you to the resources that will take you the rest of the way. Blessings. Okay, so, and I actually saw that comment. Thank you, Catherine, for receiving that downloaded message. And you will be guided to your next steps to be at ease and to be secure. And I'm sending that to everyone. All right, next question.
Okay, so I also just wrote the name of the book and the author in the chat if anybody wants the Ken's book. So the next question is from Zenka.
Yes.
I would like to improve my relationship with my granddaughter, Adela, who is 18. She's pushing all my buttons, unfortunately, despite all my trainings and spiritual clearance.
Oh, isn't that? Okay. We can think of lots of adjectives to put in there. Let's just pick the most beneficial ones. Isn't that interesting? That people who are close to us sometimes get handpicked by our own souls to be the abrasives that teach us what else do we need to know to relate to these people successfully, to create harmony where there is right now only a sense of dissonance and discord. So we can generalize this to say, probably almost all of us can think of one significant person in our life where that's pretty much the effect. They push our buttons, our training doesn't seem to help at all. What do we do? And first, I just like to really take a deep breath in and out together as we release all that stress and tension and accumulated frustration about these relationships and about this other soul. You can take another couple if you need to. But this sense of it's another soul, another sovereign soul that you are in relationship with, and sometimes an inescapable relationship. And what greater good is possible here? So that's the question you can start with in shifting your own consciousness. You're not responsible for shifting the other person's consciousness. You're only responsible for your own, but please know that every time you do, the ripple effects can't help but reach them. It just can't help but change some things with them. So please know that you're only responsible for your side of it. And sometimes going into the Akasha, now that you know how, to go into the Akasha in a meditative state and bring the other soul into the room, a shared space. It may not be into your personal space, but there's a shared space. You have joint records. If this person is significant in your life, you have a joint record with them, and you can go into the shared space and you can ask some really great questions about, what did we decide to do together in this lifetime? How are we meant to benefit each other in these seemingly spiky, frustrating, energetically dissonant interactions? What greater good is possible here? These kinds of questions in that kind of space will open up your awareness, and especially if you release, again, any bias. Just acknowledge you have a bias. You may want this person to be different. Dang it. They should be different. It'd be better. They'd be better if they were different. I'm right. I know I'm right. And I know that you're wrong. And it's for your greater good for me to help you understand how wrong you are. It's like, let's just be amused at this whole game of right and wrong and good and bad and power up and power down. And if we release all those games and all of the ego attachments, sometimes I say, and if this is useful for you in this context or any other, I say, you know, where I'm so sure I'm right, make me happily wrong. Let me be happily wrong. I'd rather be wrong and happy than right and miserable. So, and again, releasing, what if it's not right or wrong? What if it's two very different perspectives from very different vibrational beings? The challenger, sometimes these souls come into our lives as challengers because they're saying, I'm never going to let you off the hook, where you still need healing, where you still need boundaries, where you still need sovereignty. I will make darn sure that gets your attention. And it's going to be in ways you can't ignore, because you can't ignore me. Like, okay. And that's okay to feel any of those feelings in this sacred space. It's good to go for anyone. It's good to set aside some sacred container space to simply be present with the soul of this other and ask these questions. Why are we in each other's lives in this relationship? What is the purpose of this relationship between us? Sometimes you have history of other relationships in other timelines or other lifetimes where you have unresolved karma, and your very chakra system, along with the other, is playing with the polarities to bring you back to a new and more harmonious balance. And the friction with the other soul is just part of cleaning up the old stuff. In the records, you can request and require, as we did in the Clear Your Soul session, Free Your Soul, you can request and require that all karmic baggage or agreements that are no longer useful in the form that they exist now be cleared. or modified or transferred or voided out. So when you stipulate that, any irrelevant energy between you gets taken out of the way. And sometimes that smooths some things down right there as you see this soul without the baggage. As you see, as you are divested of karmic baggage and old agreements and old patterns. And you might realize with gentleness and surprising insight how you've been contributing to the friction. I've had a role to play in this. There's releasing and forgiving to be done where you've gotten wounded. I mean, there's legitimate wounds sometimes. And it may be unintentional and it may be intentional. And each of those requires a little different energy to address. But you can, in that sacred space, just require that anything that's not relevant or useful for this current lifetime and relationship be released. And any old roles you played for each other that are influencing things here, you now release yourself and the other from those roles. The other thing that can really help in just resetting the dynamic between you and another is the prayer of undoing. So I'm just going to, you know, bring to mind all anyone significant that's coming up in this context. And let's just go through that together. So you have a record of it. You can make notes of it. You can write it down for yourself. You can reword it slightly to fit your own perception, but don't change it too much because the energy really works. So you acknowledge with yourself and the other, you are taking responsibility for yourself here, and you fully and freely admit, I acknowledge that I have made mistakes in my relationship with this other person. Name the person if there's a name. I acknowledge I have made mistakes. And I now request, require, and decree that all of the unpleasant and unwanted consequences of these mistakes now be undone in all directions of time and space, in all versions and timelines where each of us exists, either individually or together. The energy is undone. We choose who we are together from here. So be it, and so it is. Energy and reality reset. And thank you. This, again, will probably bring you into a new state of consciousness with that other person. Cords, bindings, tethers, tangles, energy that needs to go will just go. And you may find that you're a little more at ease with that person. And you'll have new words to say. You'll have new strength. Where your own boundaries have been violated by that person, this is your opportunity to teach them how to treat you. We are always teaching people how to treat us. And if people keep pushing your buttons and intruding and invading and making you feel uncomfortable and awkward, that's just a sign. It's just a sign to beef up your sovereignty. And tell, you know, express to them through your energy, through this solid, resilient border that you have. And the permission rose, it takes the confrontation out of it, lets them be them, lets you be you. You just say, this doesn't fly. Here's the response you get when you treat me like this. And if you don't like it, remember, you invoked it. So this is taking back your power, not in a malicious or malevolent way. It's just like the mama cat with the badly behaved kitten. You've seen this. Cats can be very serene. And then the other cat comes and gets in their face and they go, whoosh! It's forceful. It's definite. The other cat knows, oh, this doesn't fly, and leaves. And the cat returns to serenity. And that's pretty much what we're being called to do, is exert the force. Start with kindness, where kindness is not effective because that person needs more force to learn their lesson. And you, lucky you, are the agent of the force. You just invoke more force, more power. The power of grace says, no, this will not get you what you want. And eventually they will figure it out, and you may get to repeat it. And every time you repeat it, please think of it as gym training. This person is that drill sergeant says, drop and give me 50, soldier. And you're like, you got it. I'm getting stronger with every push up. I'm getting stronger with every push back. You'll learn how to treat me and things will go better. And I'm going to actually have some fun with the enforcement. So if you think about that, bringing divine joy into the power, do you see how that shifts the energy? You're not invoking power maliciously, malevolently, or from a state of resentment or anything else unsuitable. When you invoke power with joy, you get to be the divine disruptor for this other person. Say, nope, that doesn't work. It doesn't work on me anymore. So what are you going to do instead? If what they're asking for is legitimate, you can find a legitimate way to respond to them that will teach them, oh, this works, so let's do this. And you know, how basic, right? How basic that we're teaching people how to treat us with every exchange. And we sometimes need to learn how to teach them, right? So it's okay that you need to learn that. It's okay that your boundaries might be porous and people push your buttons. It's okay that that's where you actually are right now, because this is, and please note that Mercury retrograde periods are really calls to re-examine your communication style and processes with other people. And every place where you're not healed and where you need to practice, it will come up. And you just, you know, my two favorite expressions about these situations are, what the hell, when it comes up, and then, oh, what the hell, when you let go and find a new way to respond. You can phrase it how you like, right? I'm getting salty in my old age, and I call it liberated language. And if it's not your style, that is okay, all right? But please remember, the holy and the earthy live side by side. We're living proof. The holy and the earthy live together as us. And your expression of that is totally your own, salt or no salt. So that may complete the questions that we have available. Is that true, Lorica?
No, we have two that came in. So
alrighty then.
We have two. So the first one is from Elizabeth. And it touches on something that you've spoken with already. She says, you alluded to it, but can you review some, I think she's talking about the how to repair boundaries when they emerge. Boundary emerge to repair. So I think she's talking about, Elizabeth, I believe that's what you mean.
Right. So Elizabeth, if that's what you're getting at is, you know, restoring your energy boundaries when you sense someone's consistently violating them, just type a Y in the chat or clarify if you need to clarify, and we'll address it the way you want it to be addressed. So I'm just going to wait for a minute to see what gets said.
Boundaries repair.
Okay, boundary repair. So, right, that's an ongoing process. The reason I call it repair and not healing is because we're actually fixing the broken places. But if you have deeper issues, they will break again. And that's what's drawing you deeper into the healing that will really finally, fully, completely, and permanently restructure your boundaries. The repair is to restore healthy boundaries like chiropractic. You know, you can go into a chiropractor or a Feldenkrais practitioner and they will realign your body. But if you go back and you keep slumping in your chair and crossing your legs or twisting when you do this action, if you keep doing the same thing, you'll need repair again and realignment, right? So the same thing with your energy boundaries. The repair is to give you immediate relief so that you can respond differently and the other person can respond differently. but it's meant to be reinforced. That's why I call it repair. If you have a talisman, you can wear that talisman. You will still want conscious awareness. Our guides are really sneaky about this. Is we think, okay, I got my talisman. Boundaries are up 24/7. All is good. I'm tootling. And then, ba-dam, something breaks in, and they remind you, you still need to work on this, and you're going to need to get some conscious awareness of repairing your boundaries. So please, for frick's sake, touch your talisman, or, you know, reconnect. Get conscious here. I was like, okay, all right. They're just reminding us where we need to get conscious about what's happening and where we are out of alignment in our practices, in our energetic practices. So when boundaries get disrupted, you can, with whatever intonation you like, say thank you to the person who's pointing this out, that you've got a rupture in your boundaries and the repair is only giving you a temporary fix so you can have relief while you go deeper and rewire yourself and permanently heal the boundary issues, the energy issues. So the boundary repair process is in the session 4 about beautiful, bountiful boundaries. At some point, I'm going to make it a separate meditation that you can refer to. If you're someone who just likes a guided process, that's great. Understood. I want to make that compact and accessible. But in the meantime, you can just go to the last 20, 30 minutes of the session before we got to Q&A. I don't know where the marker is. If anyone finds the marker, please share. That'll be great. You can walk through that boundary process again, or you can use the talisman to remind yourself. Boundaries up. You can also use a command to refresh your boundaries in the moment, which can sometimes help if you're getting slammed and you realize I just got slammed or slimed or whatever. You just go, I do the Star Trek thing, right? Because I'm a geek and I like Star Trek. And shields up. And there they are, restored, fully operative. And with every empath and sensitive, please add the stipulation that as your boundaries and border are established, you have auto clear as a protocol, which means if something leaked in and you just realized it, when you pull your boundaries up again consciously reinvoke your repaired and restored boundaries, it sucks that intrusive energy right back out again. Yeah. So then it's outside your field where it belongs. And then usually you'll find that clears your head and it calms you down and you can respond differently. The other thing I would always say, if you feel like your boundaries need some attention, but you're like someone's in your face right now, buy yourself a minute. You have every right to just pause them in whatever way you can that's appropriate and take a deep breath. One deep breath in and out actually reorganizes your brain and reoxygenates your body and regrounds you. One deep breath in and out will do all that. And you can use that deep breath to pull in your boundaries, to reestablish your repaired boundaries. And then you're responding and not reacting, if that makes sense. And it will require practice. And these fabulous, abrasive people in your life will give you lots of chances to practice. So just remember, practice means progress, okay? And progress is all you are ever responsible for. It is never perfection. It is just progress. Okay, a great question. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, so we have one more question and do we have time for one more, Susan?
Yes. If okay, you guys great. Do, I do. The point is to be available. So
excellent. Elizabeth said that she needed that reinforcement. Thank you.
We do, don't we? We just sometimes need reminding and reinforcing. So thank you for asking for it when you needed it. That's really great.
Great. So this is a follow-up. I think it's on the Akashic. Manon, was that about the Akashic? No, she says Vivaxis. Sorry, maybe it's something I don't know about. The question, is it possible to place your Vivaxis in an energetic place, e.g. Atlantis, or Middle Earth, or another high energy place, or should it be an actual place on current Earth?
And that is an interesting question. There's something unique. There's some, if you're drawn, so the question is, if you are drawn to consider that, you would want to ask your deeper wisdom, is this a variant of the five axis that's useful for me? And that's what would guide you, because not everyone needs that or would want that. It's not appropriate for everyone. The five axis is meant to be a linking of a human in a body to physical land. The intention was, when humans were new on the earth, they needed this bonding to the land, because in our most natural and, you know, the beautiful original state, we were stewards, shepherds, and caretakers of the natural world, because we are problem solvers in a way that no other species is. And so that was our unique contribution, is we're going to help solve problems that other species get into. We're going to help Mother Earth. And by being bonded to the land, you then are in tune with the land, and the land can communicate with you when it needs your help. So that was the purpose of the five axis to start with. And therefore, it had that original understanding of physically bonding you to a physical place, because you're a physical being and organic, and it's all organic. Let's all be organic together. But as metahumans have become more and more present here, some of whom have very complex, interrelated, interdimensional energies, new answers and new purposes for the five axis can emerge. So if you're feeling a draw, I would say instead of one five axis, you might have several. It is good to have one that does physically bond you to the physical land that you actually want to pay attention to. Okay. It's just good because you're here, you're physical. It's part of the human gig, and it's meant to be rewarding. But you may find that you have interdimensional, alternate timelines, other ways that you are conscious of being, and you'd like to have something like a five axis that roots you there. Cool, go for it. That's what I'd say, go for it. If you're feeling the call, use it as a variant and use it as an additional, a supplemental five axis. It does not replace the one that links you to the physical earth, but it can be more. I'm always about, what if it could be more? So let it be more for you. And Manon, and thank you for bringing it up, because I kind of get a tick that might apply to me too. And others, if you just feel like that little pulse of, hey, huh, what if? Explore that. You will not go wrong. If you find that you don't really want another vibe axis, or it just seems complicated or tedious, let it go. That's not relevant to you, not interesting, leave it. But if it does interest you, explore it with the sense of, I am enriching my earth-based vibe axis with others, one or more, that also allow me to be deeply rooted other places where I am home somehow. So yeah, great question. Thank you so much. That was just marvelous. And there's one final question that got brought up before that I'm just going to address here briefly, and it's about property. So I'm generalizing this to be of use to everyone, because most of us will deal with managing property or selling property at some point in our lives. And if you're relying on the income from property and somehow that gets blocked, like some people have had properties that have been on the market for who knows how long, it's not selling, there's no interest, it's a mess, they're losing money, it's becoming a source of concern. This is the kind of issue I would want to address here to alert you that it may not be your realtor. It may not be that you don't have it priced right, or it may be, but there's hidden energy. With every transfer of property, you're not dealing with just the physical property. Every piece of property, every building, and even every apartment within a building has a deva. A deva is an overseeing spirit. So yeah, I know they can boggle your mind, like, good grief, how many spirits are there on this place? Like, don't even go there. Don't even try to number that. Your mind is going to crack and your head will warp. Don't even do that. But please know the earth has ample capacity for all of these non-physical presences. Don't worry about it. It's not overcrowded, okay? We're fine. But humans have not known to be aware that when you want to transfer a property, you need to go through the deva. You need to dialogue with the deva. And you need to let the, it's a two-way contract that you have with the deva of that property to hold that property and to steward it and tend to it. And sometimes people just go willy-nilly, I'm getting rid of this. And there's unresolved issues energetically with that property. And the deva won't let go until you deal. So it's not malicious. It's just like you agreed to be the energetic steward of this property. And we require you to complete your contract before it can move. So if there's mysterious reasons that this property isn't moving, that's the first place to check. First and foremost, are you in the deva? Have you completed your contract? Is there anything else you're meant to do? Sometimes there's interference. Sometimes the land has malevolent spirits. Sometimes there's other energetic issues and you need to clear the property so that it can become visible to the prospective buyers. And sometimes when you clear the property and there are, you can look for places and ways to do that. I clear property, it's part of my work, but you may be able to do this yourself. You're a metahuman. You might be able to do this. If you feel called, you can do this. If you need help, you can ask me or someone else you trust or look up some processes. There are books now on clearing land. You can do this. So when you clear the land, you are releasing a whole lot of energy that's actually making it not visible or not attractive to the right buyers. And then you can call in these right buyers. Once the land is cleared, your contracts are complete. You may find you get some feet on the ground steps like, I do need a different realtor, or shoot, this price does need to be different one way or another. You'll get the concrete physical action steps that you need. But if you start there, you're not dealing with the real reason why this isn't changing in the way you want, why you're not getting a buyer, why you're not doing, why it's not working out right. So when you address the subtle energies, because as metahumans, we are called to a higher level of consciousness and responsibility about pretty much everything, which can be fun sometimes and can mean that you just call in some help. Like, you know, to be responsible for my teeth, there's certain things that I do for myself. And there's certain things where it's like, okay, this is out of my skill set. I'm going to the dentist. And I'm going to say arigato to my money as it goes to the dentist. And this is what you would do too, is you sense, this is beyond my skill set to clear this land or to address this energy issue. I can't even tell what's wrong. I just know something's wrong. This is where you would contact me or someone else who works with clearing property or people. Sometimes it's the people tethered to the property, and they might not even be you. They might be lost human souls. They might be former owners. But at this point, it's time to clear it, and you may need help. So reach out for help. And 99 times out of 100, the sale happens quickly. The other thing that a person can help with is guiding you to the timeline for what actions to take about this property. When do you market it? When are you going to get interest in it? When is the most likely sell date? We can determine that in the records for that property, which can just put your mind at ease, right? If you know, oh, it's 6 months from now, no matter what, then you can just relax and take care of other stuff and keep preparing the way for the sale. So I would advise you anything that this is the final word from spirit, anything where you feel a lot of tension around a timeline, a lot of urgency, a lot of push, that is the clue to back off and let go. Back off and let go. The pressure is constricting the energy. Release the pressure. Let the energy flow. Just tune in. Just tap in. And again, we had some sessions about tapping into timelines and changing probable futures. So if that's something that you'd like a review or refresher of, we can do that another day. But just being aware, there is a timeline, there is a flow, and the harder you push and the more urgency you feel, that's ego. That's ego and fear. And I appreciate my ego. It's useful, but there's times when it's not. And pushing for things to happen faster than they're truly meant to, that's not useful. So you just, you know, tell your ego, down boy, down girl, we're tuning in to higher wisdom. What is the right timing for this sale? How far off in the future is this? What's optimum here? And you'll get an answer. And if you're biased, please admit that first. I want it to be 3 weeks from now. It's like, okay, you just admit that. What is it really? And once you accept what it is really, you're already facilitating the process instead of impeding it. So it's a great lesson for us to learn of where we direct our will and where we let it go. Where do we shape the currents of energy and where do we just ride them? Ongoing process. And when you've got a big stake in the outcome, it's all that much more important to realize to let go and trust that divinity is in the hands of divinity. What better hands could there be? And that seems to complete my downloads for now, unless something else comes up. So I just love to, again, one last minute invite, any final question, anything else on anyone's mind, and then we'll close the container. And yes, if you're having some responses, you just want to share how you're feeling or what was helpful to you, please just anchor that, type it into the chat briefly or however you want. We'll keep the chat open for a little while. And then I always save the chat, and where a further response might be necessary, I will respond. But otherwise, this was meant to be kind of a self-contained space today. And I'm just kind of basking. Let's just kind of bask together in that loving, soft glow of energy exchanged, of spirits enriched, of answers brought forth, of energy smoothed and soothed and redirected into courses that are even more divinely blessed for you. Just honoring the contribution of each person to this group, whether live or on the replay, you've been included, you've been important. You made a difference by being present. So thank you one and all. And lots of blessings as you go into the weekend. I just want to remind you that I deliberately set these on Fridays to help kind of clean up whatever might have accumulated from the week and to prepare you to enter your weekend with some new energy, some new infusions of grace. And if that means you need to sleep a little more, take an Epsom salt bath, drink some hot tea, detox a little, or incorporate and integrate what got shared, it is meant to give you the space to do that with ease. So thank you for making Friday fun day for us all energetically, and wishing you well. And if you're ready to go, feel free to just say goodbye, many blessings. And until we meet again, may grace prevail in you, around you, and through you. Grace be you.